Holy Spirit, as you spoke to your heart, we are thankful for the service thus far. Be very prayerful as we look into the Word of God for these few moments. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah, we don't go there too much, so it's just right close to Isaiah in your Bible. Go to Isaiah and take a right, and you'll be right there at Jeremiah. If you go a little too far, you get to Lamentations, turn back to the left and go back, and there will be Jeremiah. It's right there in the middle of your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 8, well, just one little verse. And I want to speak to you about this morning. If the Lord will help us for this little while. Very important verse. Verse number 20 of chapter 8 of Jeremiah says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended." Here is some of the most depressing words that you'll ever hear. And we are not saved. The harvest is gone. Winter time has come. Bad weather is set in. No chance for me to do anything now. The summer's gone. Winter's here. And we're lost. We're not able to provide for ourselves. We're in a desperate situation. One of the most depressing and desperate cries in all of your Bible is right here. Let's pray about it. Father, we come to you this morning asking your blessings upon this moment. God, would you speak to our hearts? God, will wake up our spirits, and God, let us be aware that the harvest is swiftly passing, that the summer is swiftly ending, that winter is at hand, that the boisterous, tragic days of winter are upon us, and we're going to find ourselves helpless. God, I pray that you'd awaken us to your word and waken us to your will. God, speak in this moment today. God, if there be one here lost, let this be the moment of salvation. God, if there's one that is away from you, may this be an awakening cry to awaken us, to be up and about the business of the Father. Bless this moment. Stir our hearts. Revive us in the Spirit of the Lord. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. The harvest passed. Summer's ended. And we're not saved. Let me remind us of the background. The people of Judah had been warned time and time again of the coming judgment of God. The judgment upon their sins. They had wandered away from God. They had gone into idolatry. And they had sinned against God. And God's raised up a prophet named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was he was an unpopular prophet. You don't hear too much spoken about Jeremiah because he was unpopular. But he carried the pure word of God. He preached the word of God to him, and he was an unpopular person, but he had the word of God, and he told the people of the judgment to come. Jeremiah said, "Unless you repent, God is going to bring judgment." And their unbelief overrode the prophet's message. They were so sunk in their unbelief. And the reason for their unbelief was somewhat like we are in America today, so blessed and so well provided for and so protected that they could not see the oncoming danger and the problem that was upon them, and they wouldn't hear the message of God. The message is going out today across our land, and our people still are not hearing. They're not hearing. The reason for their unbelief is their crops were planted. They had crops in the field. They had walls around their city. They were barred in. They were well protected. They were content. They were safe, they thought, and they had plenteous provision. Even when the enemy came, they were not repentant. Even when troubles comes in our lives, oftentimes we remain unrepentant. Many times, they reason like this. After a while, the enemy will leave. After a while, they'll go on back to their places, and we'll go out of our gates into the fields, and we'll gather our grain, and we'll feed our children, and we'll be happy. But things got desperate. And I'm going to tell you, things can get desperate. Things are getting desperate in our land. Very desperate. Starvation came across their land. Starvation came to the point, and it got to the point that mothers cooked their own babies. Did you know that America is almost into that desperate situation? That we are sacrificing our own children on the altars of Satan. America is doing that very thing today. We've walked away from God. We've dismissed him from school. We've taken the Bibles out and we've carried them and hid them. We've taken prayer away from our children and we've put every ungodly thing in for them. We've sacrificed them to the devil. And we wonder oftentimes what's wrong. We wonder what's going on. Don't wonder anymore. Until we come back to God, and until we repent and get back to God, it's not going to get better. Kind of unexpected message this morning, I know. The pastor's in revival. But this is what the Lord sent. It was in this setting, when starvation was there, such as you've never seen and never heard of before, that we hear those desperate words, the sad, sad cry from this desperate people. And they said, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. This truth is an eternal truth that it speaks today just as it did in Jeremiah's day. It's got timeless value. This truth is as fresh as the morning news, and probably more so. The truth is, listen, the truth is, God's harvest does pass. The opportunity for delivery does pass. The opportunity must be taken advantage of in the time of that opportunity, because opportunities pass. Opportunities comes and opportunities goes. But the fact is, the harvest passes. But I want to mention something this morning. That God does call. God does call. God called to Judah. God called many times. God sent the prophet many times. I know he was probably looked at kind of like I am. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. You don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand the situation. I know. I know what I'm talking about. But let me talk to you just a little bit about this morning, about the harvest passing, the summer ending, and the fact that we're not saved. In that passing harvest, there comes a call. There's a call of God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible said, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" There is the call of God. There is a distinct call of God. You and I are, most of us are recipients of that call. God has called. Do you remember that day that God spoke distinctly to you? God is a unique, powerful individual. He is a very powerful personality. He looks at this crowd and he sees one individual. Did you know that? He looks at this crowd and he sees you. He don't see everybody. He sees you. Get that down in your mind this morning. God looks at this crowd and he sees individuals. God looks at the world, he sees individuals. He sees an individual. He is a person that is able to focus upon one among millions. God called. And that call was the most loving call that has ever been heard in all of history. And the call was, "Adam, where art thou? Where in the world have you sunk to?" This is what that call is about. It's a call of humility, a loving call. God is calling today and saying, "Where are you at? What in the world has become of you? What in the world has got into you? Where have you got yourself? Where have you got yourself into?" God calls. We need to remind ourselves that it is a personal call. We sit in the congregation and we hear the message and we wonder sometimes, who is that message for? Personalize it. God is looking at you. God is speaking to you. You may not be lost. You may be saved. You may be doing pretty good, but you're probably not doing good enough. God looks at you, and God wonders, why in the world, amidst so much that I've given you, so much that I promised you, so much that I would do for you, why are you not doing better? Why are you not doing better? Why are you not enjoying life more? Why are you not more excited? Why are you not more thrilled? After all I've done for you, I've given to you my best. I've done my best for you. I emptied heaven. I gave my son for you. Why are you not doing better? God calls. He's calling for me. He wants me to do better. He's calling for you. He wants you to do better. Amen. Too many times we're patted on the back and say that we're
good enough. We're wonderful folks. We're saved and we're on our way to heaven and we're doing good. We're not doing good enough. We're not doing good enough. If we was, the house would be packed and they'd be standing in the yards. Amen? They would be crawling into the front doors wanting to be saved. If we were doing well, if we were doing as good as we ought to be doing, sinners would be crying and hollering, help me to get saved. We wouldn't be having to beg them. They'd be begging us. Amen. God is merciful. He calls. God made himself available. But not only did he make himself available, he came a seeking. He would be merciful if he only made himself available. If he just redeemed us by the blood of his son and sat down in heaven and said, that's it, come and get it, he would be merciful. But he didn't just give his son to redeem us. He didn't sit down in heaven and say, that's all of it. He set out a quest and a search for us, and he's looking for you. You're on God's list. He's looking for you. He's searching. Good news is God calls. The bad news, God stops calling. God does stop calling. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. He says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But thank God his spirit does strive. And his spirit is striving. Thank God when he spoke to me and he was striving with me, trying to show me and to get me to come to repentance. Thank God every time that he speaks to you that he's a striving God. He does strive. But he does stop. Sad news. God does stop striving. The harvest does pass. The summer does end. The coldness and the badness of winter finally sets in. The harvest is over. Sad news for people when they are not saved. I was at my first church when I finally became acquainted with the stopping of the call of God. In a revival meeting, I and the evangelist was visiting out in the community, and we was trying to get people to come to revival meeting, and we knocked on this man's door, and he came to the door. And the evangelist knew the man. I didn't know him that well, but the evangelist knew the man. And we began to talk to him, and he said, preachers, I would tell you this. I would love to be saved. I would love to come to your church meetings, and I'd like to come to that altar, and I'd love for God to save me, but let me tell you my story. He said, God does not deal with me anymore. God does not speak to me anymore. He said, my son was saved at a local church a couple of years back.
And he said, I was in that service when my son was saved. And said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that I needed to go to the altar, that I needed to repent, I needed to be saved. And he said, I turned him away. And he said, the pastor just kept on giving an invitation. And finally he said, the pastor came back to me and laid his arm around my shoulder and said, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And he said, he certainly was. But I looked at that pastor and I said, no. And he said, the pastor just took his arm down and went back to the front. And he said, I came to my son's baptismal service, and I went to several services since then. But he said, the Holy Spirit has never spoken to me anymore. He said, the last time I felt the Holy Spirit is when I looked at that pastor and said, no. And he said, I would give everything I own. I would give everything that I've ever owned if the Holy Spirit would speak to me one more time. Just one more time. We prayed with him. We tried to help him all we could, and we prayed with him. We left him standing there like a cold tree. He was never moved. And the last time I spoke to him was about 10 or 12 years back, and he was still unmoved. He said, the Holy Spirit has never spoken again. Let me tell you this morning that the harvest does pass. The summer does end. God does quit calling. And the Bible teaches us that no man can come unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. We must have that Holy Spirit. And that's the reason that I tell you this morning that it is a blessed moment. I think it's a blessed time in my life when the Holy Spirit shakes me and says, you need to get closer to God. Or when he shakes you and says, you need to repent of your sin. When he shakes you and tells you to move up closer to God. That's a blessed moment. It is not something to be ashamed of or to push aside. And never, listen to me this morning, never tell the Holy Spirit no.
The sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When you reject that Holy Spirit, let me tell you what will damn a soul in hell. The last time that Spirit speaks to you and you tell him no, you're sealed in hell. That is the one sin. Oh, it's not drinking. It's not running around. It's not all of the things that we name as this sin is bad, this sin is bad. Let me tell you, the sin that is bad is a rejection of the Holy Spirit. It'll not be forgiven in this world, neither in the world to come. The harvest is passing. The summer is ending. Are you saved? Are you saved? I have a funeral this afternoon, and the blessed hope standing beside of that grave is going to be, it's not going to be anything that she's ever done. It's going to be that one decision Brother Steve was talking about this morning, the decision to receive Christ as her Savior. That's the only thing that matters on that day.
Nothing else matters. It don't matter what kind of car you drive. It don't matter what kind of house you live in. It don't matter what kind of neighbors you got. When it comes down to that final moment, the only thing that really matters is, did I receive Christ as my Savior? Did I personally repent of my sin and say, Lord, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior, and make that commitment to Him. Have you done that? If not, the harvest is passing. The summer is ending. And one day you will say, and we are not saved. And the winter is blasting.
And there's only, regardless of popular opinion, there's only two places that we can go.
There's only a heaven, or there's a hell. There's not only in between. There's many, many ways that a person can die. But there's only way, one way that he can live. And that's by faith in Christ.
That's by faith in Christ. Father, bless your word today and speak to our hearts.